Welcome to episode 221 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty.
Hillary.
Hi.
It's been a hot minute.
Oh, I hate it. I hate when it's been so long. It's so weird. Long.
It's weird. It feels like months and months and months.
Yeah. And then I feel like
and
we're not.
It's like a week.
We're not, you know. Up to date.
Yes.
You know, things were happening. And then I tried to make notes of like, what have we not talked about? And I'm like, there's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Trump's trial has started. They finally have the jury.
Oh my God. The people that were getting knocked off of that jury for stuff that they found.
Yeah, yeah.
Like their tweets. They're like, did you say this about Donald Trump? Yes, I did, Your Honor. You know, bye. So stupid.
It's got to be hard to find people who, you know, don't have an opinion about Donald Trump.
Never heard about him. You know,
like, right.
Or, you know,
it's crazy.
That to me is crazy that they're so uninformed.
Or asking them like where they got their news and not one person said the Muck Podcast. Now, I'm sorry.
Hello.
But fuck that jury.
How about how he was
falling asleep in court one day?
And farting.
Girl.
Allegedly
he's
farting.
He's like that old grandpa. He's your old grandpa who falls asleep at Thanksgiving.
He's snoring and his toupee is like flying in the air.
Oh, that toupee. He did an interview outside in the wind.
Oh my God.
And honey, you need to glue that down.
Glue it down. I mean, are we still gluing toupees in 2024? I thought that there was
it's his hair.
Isn't there like more... Yeah, I don't know, ways to handle hair loss.
I just said this to my daughter, okay? Take a tip from a drag queen, all right? You got to glue that shit down. I was talking to my daughter about how all these makeup videos now, when you see these girls doing their makeup, I didn't know women did not do their makeup like this until Drag Race. When RuPaul's Drag Race came out, and they're watching these drag queens who are men who do an illusion of a woman. To do that, they have to paint their face a certain way to give it contour, to give it shape.
Yeah.
To appear womanly, right? A softer face to have that illusion of a woman. So they do things like they contour their nose, they contour their cheeks, they do this. Sometimes they'll do something here with their nose and they do a thing here. It's all a way to like create this illusion. Like if you, and they use paint, like costume paint, you know, it's art. It's a show. They're doing that on these makeup videos. Women are contouring their fucking noses.
Oh yeah, they've been contouring. I've seen some
and they're
of
doing
these
this. They're doing the shadow thing where they're shadowing their.
Because it's like they want. Because either they want it to be sharp or like you know they want to get rid of like
it's one
you
thing,
know if you have a waddle.
Yeah, listen, it's one nice Ally McBeal reference by the way. It's one thing to do it for a video and like take pictures or whatever. But have you seen these women with that makeup out in public?
Oh no.
In the daylight?
No.
It does not, it looks like what a drag queen would look like in daylight. You see all the lines. Like, how are they leaving their houses?
I don't know.
Not
I
mean, understanding some... that the gel light is not the same as sunlight. Yeah. Like, it, you
or maybe
see
they
everything.
Don't leave their houses. I've also seen some that too, like these sort of complete miraculous changes of
it's
like
incredible.
A woman looks one way and then after it, you're like,
it
doesn't even look like the
Honey,
same person.
Look at this.
Oh, it's gorgeous, girl.
It's living proof. I love makeup, but this is not what wakes up in the morning, okay? This is not what I look like. Look at... gorgeous.
No.
Ugly.
No! What?
I go as far as say fugly.
This is such bullshit right now.
Fugly?
No.
Is the funniest fucking word.
It is the funniest
bamboozled
word.
And fugly go down as the funniest words in history.
Do you remember in the 90s?
Fugly.
In the 90s, in the late 1900s, there was this song, and I think it was called Ugly, and it was like, 'cause I'm ugly with the capital U.
What? I don't know that song. Damn. I missed out on that.
It was I forget. You know, one of these, it was like a weird alt band that I can't even remember the name of.
Well, anyway, Trump needs wig glue, basically.
Yes.
And also, you know, the judge first day was issued a gag order and said, no one talks about the jury. Nobody talks about the judge. Nobody talks about the prosecutors. You are not allowed to tweet, say out loud anyway to the press, nothing. Gag order, which is for him.
Right.
He walks out of the courtroom and there's all these cameras and he's like, this jury, they're all a bunch of Democrats and that judge has got it against me. The next day he's like, sir, now we have to have a contempt trial.
Yeah.
Next week they're going to have a contempt trial. He's an idiot. He violated the gag order, which he did.
But the other thing is, there was that Fox News host who basically didn't name the juror, but gave all of the personal information, and the person had to step down out of fear.
Yeah. A lot of them did that.
What are you doing? And that's you're interfering with the trial.
Yeah. It's obstruction of justice.
It's crazy.
And
it's crazy.
And it is crazy. But a lot of them were like, the judge said to them, if you are in fear of being, you know, put in the spotlight like that, you don't have to serve on this because of the threats that happened.
Well, and afterwards, however the verdict goes, that's another potential.
Girl. Well, he's having a trial in Manhattan. He's going to be found guilty. But he is guilty.
He is guilty.
And the best thing about this is probably be the only trial we're going to see before the election. And it is about obstructing, you know, it's interference of the election.
Oh, he those newspaper this, headlines?
Yeah. He paid off this with the help of the National Enquirer, paid off Smokey Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. My bad. I messed up her porn name. Stormy Daniels. That's her porn name, right?
I don't know.
Bitch, did your mother name you Stormy? Because she set you right up. You got to be careful what you name these kids, okay? You never know.
Oh, wait. Did you ever do, like, what's your stripper
name? Yeah, no, because I didn't live on a street that was, like,
mine was always mine was always so good because it was your dog's name.
Okay.
Your first dog's name and the street you lived on. And okay. I had it was Frisky Broadway. Is that not the best name ever?
Girl, that's the name of this episode. I fucking know that
Frisky
much.
Frisky Broadway.
I know that much. I don't have to stop worrying about that. That's done. Oh my God. But he paid her off before the 2016 election to keep her from talking so he could win. It's election interference to make himself look good.
But those article, those headlines. Girl. This is, and we all knew. And the other thing is that, again, you have this man who's all he does is scream about fake news, fake news, fake news. And it's because he's the king of fake news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, of course, he's going to think everything is fake because all he is a liar.
Yeah.
And liars and con men think everyone is part of a con game, right?
Right.
And that they're all doing the same thing.
That's right.
God, I hate this man.
That's loser. So true. They do think everybody's out scheming. Well, I'm scheming, so everybody must be scheming.
Yeah.
Fucking criminal. Anyway, I'm excited to see if he's held in contempt of court because that would be amazing. What else? SCOTUS has been very busy this week.
Oh God, Idaho.
Girl, besides that, between that case where they're trying to determine whether women can have emergency abortions in states where abortion rights don't exist, there's no abortion.
And, you know, not only that, but like, how many organs does a woman have to lose? And, you know, should we fly? The fact that women are being helicoptered out of a state for emergency care because of laws in their home state is crazy. And that they're encouraging women to get a helicopter, like emergency flight insurance, because it's like $25,000 to fly somebody out. So they're encouraging women in the state to have like additional insurance that could help cover the cost if they should need to be airlifted out of state.
And I ask you, where are the men who put the baby inside of her?
Yeah.
I'm so fucking sick of that. That part I'm really fucking sick of. Why is it up to us to figure out? Why is the Supreme Court of the United States of America debating whether I can get healthcare that would save my fucking life?
It's insane. And
would save my life. There are judges discussing if our lives are valuable enough
to
be saved.
If we matter.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And that law, I don't remember the acronym. It's emergency EM, blah, 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 blah.
So mad.
That they're debating on because it's been that if you need this emergency care, if the life of the mother is threatened, like they have to go in. And you're reading stories of women with preeclampsia, women with, you know, who maybe their water broke early and like they can't get any care. So not only are you jeopardizing the mother's life, you're jeopardizing the life of the baby that supposedly you want to say, you know, that needs to be born.
Yeah.
But they don't care. They don't, like, all this shows is they do not care about women and their full purpose is to put women away, back away into the kitchen somewhere. It's crazy. Like, these are women. They're dying. And imagine being pregnant in a state and worrying that if you have some sort of complication that could potentially, you know, harm you or the baby that you're carrying, and nobody will help you and you're going to die. Like, it's 2024. Why are we doing this to women? And I can't understand that I just can't. I can't.
But there's no line. There used to at least be a line. 22 weeks, 24, whatever it was. There was a line that nobody would cross. And now it's like bonkers land. Like, there's no fucking, there's no, they just want it all gone. They want it all gone.
This is why people aren't having kids too.
Who would want to have a kid?
Nobody's having kids anymore.
Which is why they're going after birth control.
Except the TikTokers who are like in Idaho, they're having 20 fucking kids, and they want to show you how they make 20 pancakes in the morning. You seen those videos? Here's how, and the woman looks like hell.
She's tired. God, her vajayjay must be tired
too,
man.
It's over.
Jesus, 20 kids.
It's over. Also, though, if that's the life you want, live it.
No, totally.
But don't get on TikTok and then promote your 20 kids and Jesus. God. How the Lord blessed you like this. It's ridiculous. It's your husband who won't get the fuck off of you who did that to you.
And there's something
wrong. Is he doing that? He's fucking you in the name of Jesus?
And I feel like there's something wrong.
Cool.
Like, no, that's
girl.
Making you, I mean, I don't know.
But go ahead. Live your life.
Do it, do it,
live your life. You want to, dude, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck out of mine, though. Stay the fuck out of my life, out of my body, out of my fucking medical office, the doctor's office with me. Get the fuck out of here.
And then again, we talked about this on this show, that what's happening now in Idaho is they are, I think they've lost like 1/4 of their like OBGYNs. Like, they're leaving the
people
state.
People aren't going to lose their license
clinics,
for you.
Clinics are closing.
It's unfortunate.
And so now, you know, again, you have these deserts where women have to travel far anyway.
Maternity deserts.
It's crazy.
No, who gives? And they don't give
it's
a
crazy.
Fuck. That's the point.
No, you know, then what's going to happen is one of their kids one day, or grandkids, someone's going to, you know, end up dying. And they're going to be like, oh my God, now we got to change. But these people, you could cry in front of them. They don't care. There is some callousness
and this
sense of entitlement that they're good and pure and just.
But even the damage you're doing to the woman's body by putting her body through that, by not giving her the care, she could possibly never be able to get pregnant again.
Ugh.
It's a cruelty on a level that makes, there's no sense to it. But I guess that's the point, right? The cruelty is the point. Somebody said that about the Republicans and GOP. The cruelty is the point. That's the point of it, to be cruel. Because they're perfect.
Yep.
They know the right way, and we don't. And I have no time to suffer fools. Yep. I have no time. My God. In November, there better be a fucking reckoning, because I gotta, you know, I'm on the Biden train, everybody. Choo-choo to the fucking end. You hear me? I'm on the Biden train.
Well, of
but
course.
If I hear one more motherfucking speech or see one more video about how if you elect me, I will make sure that Kamala Harris, we will codify Roe. Please, God. I want that to happen. But also, it's very hard for me to not to look backwards and see in the rearview mirror that Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
And other very high-ranking Democrats, Joe Biden himself, didn't do anything for 30 years to codify fucking Roe. When you had a full power in the House and the Senate and in the fucking White House under Obama, nobody cared about codifying Roe then. That wasn't that fucking long ago. Democrats can't foresee anything. Republicans have been planning this moment for 50 years. Since Roe passed, they've been planning what's happening right now. And y'all have been too busy fighting bullshit to pay attention.
Or just thinking like, oh, that'll never happen. That's just talk.
And as much as I blame Republicans because they're the ones that are actually enacting these laws and sitting on Supreme Court, I do blame them for it. I also blame Democrats for never taking the fucking ball and running with it. Because you could have protected us. For a long, long time, you could have done it. Attempted to do something to prevent this.
And you know, I feel like we could have done a lot more to prevent some of these nut jobs that are sitting in these seats making these decisions happen too. We drop the ball again and again and again.
Absolutely.
We have no strategy. It's unfortunate.
Well, so I read in the paper this morning. It's Saturday, April 27th. So as of yesterday, it was the deadline to apply as a candidate or run, you know, put your papers in to run against Harold Pryor, who's our Broward County State Attorney.
I saw that too. I have that on my list.
And
too.
Gordon Weeks, who's our Broward County Public Defender. Neither of them are have opponents, so they both automatically win their seats again, which we're very happy about.
Thank God.
We love Harold Pryor. He's a friend of the pod, and we'll see him on Sunday. We're going to see him on Sunday. So congratulations to them. We're in good hands. Woo-hoo. Happy about it. Good, good, good. That's good things for Broward. I wanted to congratulate the new Miami-Dade Democrats chair.
Yes.
Senator Chevron Jones.
Yes.
Won that seat yesterday, I believe. So
he did.
I think it's a temporary because remember they removed the chair.
And then I think they have to have another election later.
So in December they'll do elections again. And in most of the caucuses.
Yeah.
So Broward, Miami, Palm Beach, I think they all have new elections in December. So he's got a big job on his hands. There's a lot of stuff happening in that Miami-Dade Dems. Billy Corbin.
And we have an election coming up. So, and Miami is crucial.
Miami is very crucial. And I hope he can do what he can in these few months leading up to it. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, we're looking at what now? Almost 6 months away from the election. So good luck. Billy Corbin was running, who we love. And, you know, he's like, he was running and then he stepped out because it's a disaster. He's like, he congratulated Chevron Jones, but then he said, but it's like being the captain of the Titanic after it's hit the iceberg.
Oh, no.
That's what it's like to be the chair of the Miami-Dade Dems right now.
God, that just sounds like the Dems in general.
And then he said, with his few weeks involved, he said that he's like, this is the sort of thing I would do a documentary on. Like the way that organization is. And I commented on it and I was like, don't stop in Miami-Dade. Go do Miami, do Palm Beach, do the whole fucking state.
Yeah.
Don't stop there. I would love to see a documentary.
Oh, I would.
About
too.
How we are, why Ooh. We are the way we are here in
and
Florida.
And how to fix it.
Yeah. So what else? What else?
So I just had, I heard this story the other day and I was like, more Republicans being crazy Republicans, but that Kristi Noem.
Oh my God.
The South Dakota governor.
Yes.
Who's a shortlist on the Veep ticket for Trump. And she talked about how she shot a 14-month-old puppy named Cricket because
the dog had a name too.
Yeah, because he was untrainable and just like mean. And she was bragging. And she's like, I guess I shouldn't write about this. And was bragging about it in her book. And I think she killed she killed some, maybe a goat or something else. I don't know. But
I hope none of her kids ever get out of line.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Couldn't train a 14-month-old puppy. Well, give it away.
Yeah.
Give it to the Humane Society.
Yeah, I guess
somebody
some chickens on a hunt and like she couldn't get it in line and, you know, turned around and like snapped at her. And so
she's psychotic.
She's like, I walked it, you know, basically to a pit and shot it. And
P.S. So, you know, there was a great New York Times article about her a few months ago.
She's cray cray.
She's cray. She's having some sort of an illicit affair with one of Trump's people. But here's the thing.
That was so funny.
If you look at her when she started in politics and what has happened in the last year and a half, they said that she went through the Trump machine.
Oh,
because
now she's got the hair and the
yes. Now she looks like one of these Trump women, but she didn't really look like that before. It's crazy to see that.
It's this weird thing that they like to look like.
Girl.
It's like the most fake plastic.
Yeah, I don't get it. And they love them guns. Holy shit. They must fuck with the guns right next to them too. Is that a hot thing
for
them?
That's probably hot.
Maybe they just keep that thing strapped on and everything else is off. Like, they must get down with them guns.
I don't know.
By the way, I watched Beef. Finally.
Oh my God.
She liked that gun.
Yes.
Oh,
that show is so good.
It was very good. Brilliant. Insane. Oh, they were insane.
Okay, so what do you think about the end? The very last episode.
Oh no, it was fantastic. No. When they're together. Oh. Yeah, it's so good. Did you watch, there's a new show. Oh, maybe we should save this.
Okay, we'll save it.
Let me save it. let me put it. I'm going to tell you about another show. Okay. Do you have anything else?
Senator Bob Graham.
Oh yeah,
died.
Governor.
Oh, I said senator. Yeah,
I think he was.
He was. Yeah. But Governor Bob Graham died. They just did a little thing on him recently, like a It's crazy that that's like sort of this legacy of Florida that we'll never see.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Again.
He was a big proponent of the working man. Yeah. And he used to do these things where he'd work on, do someone's job for the day. And, excuse me, I think it was like once a month he would go and do someone's job.
Oh,
whether it
I
was
love
like
that.
Garbage collecting or doing dishes or something. Like he was a really good governor.
Yeah.
One of the last Democratic governors that we had here.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? She's just like, I don't fucking know.
We're trapped.
Yeah.
We're trapped.
So I got this on my door this week and I wanted to show it to you.
Let me see. Oh.
It is the first and only piece of Democratic mail or whatever flyer I've ever received on my door. It's from the East Side Dems.
Nice.
Melissa Schiff.
Hi.
And all those folks over there. Shout out. It's got these little cards you can break off.
Oh.
And it's got their information, so you could even give it to somebody. It's in Spanish on the back. And then there's a QR code on it where you can do your request your vote by mail.
Very nice.
Melissa, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, I don't need a lot of information because I'm overly informed. But
not
again,
everybody is.
The first time I've ever received something. So I know she's doing a lot of this on her own, and I really appreciate it, and thank you. And thank you for doing this for people and reaching out to people and getting them the information. That's what we're talking about all the time. We're like, wouldn't it be nice if somebody was doing this?
Yes.
Fucking Melissa Schiff is doing it.
She's doing it.
Thank God.
Woo!
I watched a show called The Circle. It's like a reality show. Have you ever watched it?
No.
Okay, it's on Netflix. It's on season 6 right now.
Is it based off the book?
I doubt it. It's a social media sort of experiment.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's...
So everybody's living in their own apartment and you talk to people through chat and it's like 5 or 6 people. Do you have what?
So the book has something weird like that.
Okay.
Maybe
so
it's
you have to kind of
based.
Like be friends with them and you don't know if they're a catfish, you know, it could be a catfish. You don't know, blah, blah, blah. You become friendly. You chat on your own and there's all these games and you have to figure out like, who do we keep? Who do we let go? And some people are really nasty and fight and some people are really fake, whatever. Anyway. It's
but
an
what's
okay
the
show.
What's the point? Like when you win, like who's how
I
get, do you get
I
to be
say
last
like
man
likeable,
standing?
Likeability. Oh. Like how do you come across on social media or just chatting like this as a good person? That the people I've seen win have always like been these authentic, like good people.
And then what
and
do they win?
They win money.
So there's like some prize at the end for being like a nice person.
Plus, a lot of these reality shows now, they get a lot. All their Instagram feeds go up. You know what I mean? Then they could get business on the Instagram, their Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, this year on season 6, they had an AI playing it. Tina, when I tell you I was crying because this motherfucker played that game, like he was only on for a couple episodes. They finally had to like reveal that one of these, because, you know, I think this AI guy would have won. So he was.
Wait.
And he was even
it
saying
was able
like,
to like feign. Empathy.
Yeah. Someone would send him a message, Max, someone would send him a message and he'd be like, this person's telling me they're trying to be lighthearted because they want to connect with me on a human level. So I'm going to write back something that will exude funny and happy and sympathy or something like that. And he would write something innocuous, you know, whatever. The motherfucker was doing so good that they even said, P.S. somebody among you is an AI. One of you is an AI bot. And they're all like, what? So they all had to figure it out. They kicked off a human that they thought was an AI. You know why? She was talking about horoscopes and crystals.
Was it Williamson?
You know what I mean? And she's like, your son is in Saturn or something. Oh. People are like, oh. Like people rolling their eyes at these horoscopes and crystals. That's who they kicked off. And the guy who kicked, you got to go kick them off in person. So he goes to her apartment and she's like, what the fuck? He's like, you're not a bot? And she's like, what? So he's like, who the fuck is the bot? They couldn't figure it out. And when they finally revealed it, people were shocked. We're dying. You understand they're going to take over. You understand we're going to die, right?
So,
you understand that, right?
So.
Like, it's fucking crazy that this thing was able to read emotion and write and talk. And the people in this thing didn't fucking know.
So there are, I guess, I just recently learned this and I have not vetted any source to verify. Okay. But supposedly... In, I want to say it's like Japan, they are doing these like AI companions
that
you can go on dates with.
Oh.
And that like
I'm
give
sorry.
You.
I'm sorry. Is he going to, honey, give you what?
Like, no, but it's like, I guess like, However,
yes, a connection.
But then,
what about the physical? You're telling me all we need is emotional connection? What about my vagina, Tina?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll figure something out.
That's upsetting to me. Well, I guess I have to use another machine for that.
Yeah.
Not okay. Not okay. We can't replace penis with AI.
Well,
God damn it. Well, can't we? Wait.
But how?
Listen, they want to take our rights away. Maybe we need to take their shit away. Yeah. Maybe we don't need your dick.
Who?
Why don't you go talk to the Supreme Court? Because we're about to put a gag order on that dick and not in the way that you want us to.
Oh, my God.
P.S. Oh, shit. Oh, speaking of AI and like chat GPT and all that shit, right? Did you see the story about that high school?
No.
This principal was put on leave because these audio recordings came out of them saying all these like racist and misogynist things, like horrible, horrible things. And he's like, I never said those things. Like he was like, there has to be an investigation. I didn't say it.
It was a deep fake.
It was like a teacher at the school used his voice with the audio, like his voice.
And deep faked it
to get him fired. And then, of course, they've discovered that this was not real. This is what people are doing with this AI, chat GPT shit.
Well, and the catfishing thing that's happening now, too, is because, like, now, you know how before it was like, oh, they would never show me on video or whatever. But now the AI, they can use it and generate images.
Girl.
So people then are going to think they're actually talking to real people.
It's very scary.
It's
got to
be like, I need to meet you in real life or you don't exist.
It's very scary.
This whole world.
The last
Aren't
thing,
you so glad like that we didn't have to deal with any of this as like young people?
Girl.
I am thrilled. I don't know. There was something exciting about going out and like, am I going to meet somebody?
Yes!
Or, you know what I mean? And
yes!
like, and just like chatting. And I feel like,
oh my God.
Like, I don't know if young people have the confidence to like.
Well, they don't have, that's another thing.
You know, because
they don't have the
not
skills.
Surrounded
yeah.
in
they
any
don't
situations.
Have, and they can do this. They can grab their phone and they can say to a girl, I don't want to see you anymore. Click. And they just, there's no interpersonal conversations. There's no, you know, get your flirt on. There's no like, how
no
do you do that?
Out. Like,
no.
I feel like kids don't just, when I was a kid, you came home from school, you know, everyone's parents were at work. You were at someone's house.
Ugh.
And like, I feel like there things are so structured now.
How hard I worked at flirting.
Oh gosh,
girl, you got this. You got that fugly face. You got
this. I got enough.
You gotta get
this.
That.
Is the most beautiful person sitting.
You gotta
next
get
to me,
that. You
okay?
gotta get that.
Adorable.
You gotta get that comedy going.
Oh girl,
I work hard, and I work hard when I do it this way. I'm like, fuck, is this funny? Like I'm typing. Like, is this funny?
Typing is so hard though because like I feel like tone and like
yeah, you can't. It's very. I asked my daughter that. I said, do you leave? I'm big on voice messages. If I could do a voice message instead of typing, I will do it. I go, do you voice message with people? She's like, ugh, scary. I go, what? That's scary? Like, I don't think it's scary, but she's like, ugh, gross. I was like, wait, what?
And I used to love, like, I remember even with, like, my best friend, you know, you'd be on the phone, falling asleep with the phone next to you.
Forget
you
about
know,
it.
Like, just talking. And, like, they don't do that.
They don't do that. No.
It's a shame.
You know what I'd like to... I would like to talk about teenagers for a second because Tina is raising one of the most disrespectful kids I've ever met in my life. Okay? This kid disrespected me in front of a room full of adults, and Tina was doing that. She was laughing. I go, this is how you're raising your son? To disrespect me? Look at him. This kid's got a lot of beef with me. I'll tell you that much. I said, what
he
is it? What you got to say?
So
what you got to say?
He
what is it?
So
he goes, oh, you don't like Weird Al? I said, first of all, you say Weird Al to me, I see red.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's real. Who brought that up? Oh, we were at
Emma's.
No, I was at Trivia on Monday, and Simon said Weird Al, and I, with my friend, all my friends were there, and I go, how dare you bring this up in front of my friends? I'm embarrassed. I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving. Yeah, no, we were at Emma's and he's like, he didn't like the new Wonka movie, which I got to tell you, I was thinking about it and like, it's an okay movie, but I saw it on Christmas with my kids. Like, it was a whole thing. Timothée Chalamet sucks in it.
Okay,
I get it. But like,
my son is also a very harsh critic of everything.
Okay, well, so. He didn't like it. So he's getting, what happened? He's asked me for plot points. I'm like, I saw 6 months ago. I don't fucking know. He's like, what happened to these people? I'm like, I don't fucking know. It's Willy Wonka, by the way. Like, who gives a fuck? And then he's like, this movie doesn't make sense. I'm like, people are floating eating chocolate. I mean, I don't know. So then I said, what else you got? What else is your problem? He goes, you don't like Weird Al. I'm like, yeah. Weird Al sucks.
And anything that comes from Weird Al. Socks.
Ooh.
Socks.
Uh-oh.
One of the worst. Listen, and I'm alone in that boat. When I tell you every single person around me gets it, everyone, Tina, her son, obviously, my children, my boyfriend, everybody's into the Weird Al. I can't do it. I can't
Wait, Simon likes Weird Al?
Oh, yes!
Oh, my God.
The conversations of like, but what about, and I'm like, leave me alone. I can't do it. So, no.
Oh, this is so funny.
And this kid, and Tina's laughing, and I'm like, how can you be so disrespectful to me? And he's so cute. Aww. It's so funny.
He loves you. He's always like, is Hillary going to be there? He's like, so cute.
I tried to do dab me up with him, and I fucked it up. He went to do it, and I was like, he was like, I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't. I'm the worst. All right, let's get into before we, one more thing. The Reproductive Freedom Collective in Broward County is ramping up, and that's going to be going for the next 6 months. We're going to be hitting the streets and doing fighting for Amendment 4. Vote yes on Amendment 4. Vote yes on Amendment 3, which is the weed one. But vote yes on Amendment 4, and so we can get abortion on the books in as a constitutional amendment in Florida. Yes.
Can you imagine?
So this summer, there's going to be a fellowship. So if you're a high school or a college student, or you know someone who you think would want to be involved, they're going to do so many activities and events and work with electeds and leaders in the county and really make really good contacts and moves. And
I have someone in mind, so I'm hoping. I know they take like a few.
Yes, so. Absolutely. So if you're interested or you know someone, let us know. You can email us at themuckpodcast@gmail.com, and we will connect you with Emma or Rebecca to get that going. And also follow us on social media. We don't do that. We should be doing that, right?
Yes, yes.
But if I were to recommend any social media, I would say go to our Instagram.
Yes.
Twitter is a dead man's land, okay? We were on a podcast network, and the whole thing was like retweet, retweet, retweet.
Yeah.
We left that podcast network, which means we're not being retweeted by anybody on there anymore.
It didn't matter.
And our downloads are exactly the same. So Twitter is a wasteland for podcasts. Ooh. Like, we put the shit up there, but it's really just to have a place.
Yeah.
Go to our Instagram. You will see our reels. You will see we put other things in our stories. We put updates on there. I would recommend following us on Instagram at The Muck Podcast. And Patreon. Go to Patreon every single week.
Yes.
Every single week we do different content. It's not political. It's stuff about our lives, or we do quizzes. So you pay $2, $5, or $10 a month, and you have access to that, to all of that content.
Yes.
Which we're happy to do. We love to do it.
Me too.
All right. So are you ready?
I am.
Okay. So today, I'm just going to warn you. Okay.
Uh-oh.
You are going to be very upset. And it's not like, it's just aggravating. Okay, let's just get ready to be aggravated, everybody. Oh, are you all ready to be aggravated?
I am.
Today, I'm covering former Colorado House Rep Gordon Klingenschmidt.
Klingenschmidt.
Klingenschmidt. Now, I didn't remember his name, but when I saw his picture, I was like, oh no, I do know this person's face. Okay. Gordon James Klingenschmidt was born in Buffalo, New York in 1960.
John Jacob Klingenschmidt.
Klingenschmidt. Was born in Buffalo, New York in 1968 to a single mother, but at age 3, he was adopted by Carl and Joanne Klingenschmidt. And his adopted parents were devout members of the Catholic Church, and their son was baptized immediately.
Well, of course, you got to save that baby, man.
Get that blessed water on that baby's head. God knows what will happen if we don't do it.
I know.
In 19, I got to tone it down, because by the end of this, I'm going to be burning that church to the ground.
No. Oh no. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
everyone, you know, on SCOTUS, like all of the people, it's Catholics, man. These crazy extremist Catholics making these decisions, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
I hear you, girl. In 1986, Klingenschmidt was a senior at Clarence Central High School in Clarence, New York. Upon his 1991 graduation from the United States Air Force Academy, Klingenschmidt received a Bachelor of Science in Political Science. In 1999, he was a Divinity School graduate.
Okay.
And by April 2007, he was pursuing a Doctor of Theology at Regent University.
He ended up getting his Doctor of Philosophy from Regent in 2012. In his freshman year at the Air Force Academy, several Pentecostal ceremonies led Klingenschmitt to want, quote, to be a preacher and missionary. I wanted to tell the world about Jesus, that this was my personal calling, end
so
quote.
He switched from Catholicism to like a, or is this like a Pentecostal Catholic? I don't, it doesn't matter. It's religious.
Yeah, I think just going, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he goes into the military, and Klingenschmitt entered active duty with the United States Air Force on May 29th, 1991. For the next 11 years, he served as an officer in Missileer, which is they handle the missiles, including an assignment to NORAD. Klingenschmitt left the Air Force as a major in September of 2002, accepting a demotion to lieutenant to become a military chaplain in the United States Navy.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I'm waiting. Oh, no.
Klingenschmitt was quickly disillusioned at chaplaincy school, finding that the military's religious pluralism for service members of all faiths ran contrary to his evangelism. Despite the National Conference on Ministry to the Armed Forces Code of Ethics stating that chaplains must, quote, function in a pluralistic environment, end quote. So he doesn't like that we got to keep it a blanket sort of ceremony,
well, of course,
blanket sort
not
of prayers.
Everyone's Christian.
Right. He doesn't like that.
Oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. Of course, which is what most of these fucking lunatics
This is starting
believe.
To sound familiar, and I'm...
Not that we've done it.
No. Like
you know the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you see his face, I'm telling you, there's something very familiar about this. Okay. With an ecclesiastical endorsement from the Evangelical Episcopal Church, Klingenschmitt graduated from the Naval Chaplaincy School in late November 2002. His first assignment was aboard the USS Anzio under commanding officer Captain James M. Carr. Now, he's just such a pain in the ass, this guy. Like, major pain. You know, and these military guys, they don't suffer assholes. Like, you do what you're supposed to do. That's the whole point of the military. It. This are the rules. This is the code. You follow it and you shut the fuck up and go back to work.
You can't be the square going in the round
hole. No, not in the military.
Not in the military.
People who are good at this,
they're
drawn
to that.
You got to
be in line.
Yeah. They want structure.
Yes.
Not him.
Ooh, he's a disruptor.
Not Klingenschmitt.
But not in a good way.
No.
God damn it.
So when the USS Anzio participated in Fleet Week 2004 in New York City, Klingenschmitt complained to his superiors about holding Fleet Week services at Marble Collegiate Church, as had been done for many years, because the church provided outreach to homosexual people and, quote, endorses homosexual sin. So it was like denominational kind of church.
So what? And then again, you said homeless?
No, homosexual.
But just services, outreach to help. So isn't the whole point of like Christianity is to provide service to communities in need? Like, isn't that like the whole point of it?
You know, I've seen these commercials.
I'm so confused.
Listen, I've seen these commercials. Have you seen these Jesus commercials on Hulu? It's always on Hulu. And they're washing people's feet.
Yeah.
Somebody's washing someone's feet or whatever. And like, this is what Jesus meant. Like, that is what... My mom always said that we'd pass these big mega churches. And my mom was like, Jesus would never be at that church.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
It's like Indiana Jones 3, right? They're all reaching for that golden chalice and it's a wooden one. You know what I mean? Like, this is a simple person. And they've like distorted... It's all, you know... stories, but they've distorted the stories. That's they're taking everything out of context to serve their purpose. It's so gross.
Captain Carr later wrote that Klingenschmitt had, quote, incorrectly and improperly created an impression in the highest levels of the U.S. Navy that Anzio and our religious ministries program were in contention with Navy policy to support Fleet Week obligations, end quote. In June 2004, Klingenschmitt spoke at the memorial service for a recently deceased Anzio sailor and preached about faith in Jesus, quote, and the certainty of being cast into hell if one did not, end quote. Over a dozen complaints were relayed to Captain Carr, again counseled Klingenschmitt about inappropriate proselytization.
Wow. Why didn't they just throw him out and say, dude, you know what? This
because,
is strike
you know,
two.
Well,
you can't be a chaplain.
There's these codes, but there's also like a set of procedures to like, right?
Like a discipline plan. Okay.
Yeah,
like you get this mark and you get
yes,
that mark.
Yes,
and then,
Tina. Yes.
Okay. So until something really bad happens.
Yeah. So that July, Anzio sailors were surveyed about the ship's chaplaincy, and about 70% of written comments about were negative about Klinkenschmitt, including, quote, worst chap I've seen in 17 years, end quote. Another quote, would never seek counsel from chaps, end quote. And quote, he is one of the worst chaps I've ever seen. After receiving a 26 out of 30 from Carr on his periodic fitness report, which is like a performance review, Klinkenschmitt declined to provide a formal statement in response, instead submitting an Article 138 complaint against Carr, accusing the CO of religious persecution for lower markings than previously given. Commander of Navy Region Mid-Atlantic dismissed the complaint as meritless and endorsed Carr's report. So he's not. So that's another thing he keeps doing. He'll jump over his captain and go above his head to just file a complaint instead of responding to the captain's report and saying, okay, well, here's the things I'll do better. Or like, I disagree with this.
Furthermore, So these guys on this boat are like, because I guess the chaplain is maybe a point person to go to, because I can imagine you're on a boat or, you know, like whatever stresses or things that you're dealing with, and you're supposed to have someone that maybe you can confide in or talk to.
Girl.
And he's just like preachy. Which, you know, it just made me think, and I know I'm segueing out of this, but, you know, when DeSantis signs that chaplains can provide counseling in our schools to children and they're not qualified.
That was signed.
You know, why should people have to go seek out help and then be preached to? Because it's going to happen. There's going to be a Klinkenschmitt out there in the counseling world.
Have you maybe tried praying?
Not all of the counselors may not, or these chaplains going in may do that, but there's going to be some like this dude.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous, especially with young children. Sorry.
Agreed.
It just made me think of that. Like,
agreed.
They're not going to want to go for help.
Furthermore, United States Department of Defense spokesman William J. Marks explained that chaplains were encouraged to evoke Jesus's name during actual Christian services, while non-religious events like promotion ceremonies or memorial services should be given pluralistically sensitive. A prayer to Jesus at such a gathering would not warrant a discipline or trouble for the chaplain. So there's appropriate places for this, and then there's, you know, when you're doing a service, like a Sunday service, you can't
have people do the sign of the cross.
Right. In March 2005, Carr recommended that Navy personnel command not extend Klinkenschmitt's active duty tour, saying the lieutenant, quote, demonstrated recurring confusion concerning a chaplain's role within a military organization. So, like, we don't want him out here anymore.
Thank God that the people in charge are like recognizing, because imagine if there was something that kind of someone that leaned more towards this guy, that he would allow it.
Absolutely. But also, like, that's why they have these rules,
right?
And the rules are clear. That's why he's like, why are you so fucking confused, bro? It says right here you can't do this. They're always victims.
And I feel like people get kicked out of the military for lesser things than this. Like, get rid of this dude.
Yeah. Kling probably trying to avoid
religious persecution kind of.
Klinkenschmitt was transferred from Anzio to Naval Station Norfolk in April 2005, a move he characterized as punitive and foreshadowing the end of his career. Later that year, in protest of the Navy's position on his religious proselytization, Klinkenschmitt collaborated with U.S. Representative Walter B. Jones Jr. to pressure President George W. Bush to issue a military religious executive order that would guarantee, quote, the right of chaplains to pray in the name of Jesus, end quote.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, it's 2005. President Bush has now invaded Iraq, and he's busy with his crimes.
Yeah. That no one talks about anymore, really.
Ooh, girl.
It's kind of outrageous.
We
can't even go. We can't.
I talked about it this week, but I don't really want to get into it on here. But like,
no.
I saw somebody comparing. Oh, forget it.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off the air, maybe.
Okay. invited onto Fox News, The O'Reilly Factor, for December 19th, 2005, Klinkenschmitt wrote to President Bush on December 15th and said, quote, I'm scheduled to appear on Bill O'Reilly's TV show, and I plan to appear in uniform unless you personally order me to wear civilian attire, end quote. Because he's not allowed to do that. You can't wear your military uniform on TV
because you're speaking
without permission. And by the way, he's also jumping over whoever's in charge of him at Norfolk, right? And he's going right to the president. On December 16th, because now President Bush is like, oh, hell no, I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah. Captain Lloyd Pyle Jr., the CEO of Naval Station Norfolk, issued the chaplain an explicit order. It said, quote, pursuant to paragraph 1401.3B of the Navy Uniform Regulations, Klingenschmitt was prohibited from wearing his uniform for this appearance or any other media appearance without Captain Pyle's express prior permission, end quote. While on official leave in late December 2005, so he didn't go on O'Reilly, by the way. Or
was that
he didn't wear his uniform.
Oh, he did. Okay. Because I'm like, was he just bluffing about the whole O'Reilly?
No. He was. While on official leave in late December 2005. Also remember, it's Christmas time. It's December. What happens? There's a war on Christmas every year.
Yeah.
And Fox News loves to talk about that. They've been doing that for 20 fucking years.
Yeah. So there, then he's going to come on and go, the Navy won't let me talk about Jesus at Christmas time.
That's right. That's right. And they love that shit. Clicks, baby. While on official leave in late December 2005, in an effort to prevent his anticipated dismissal from the Navy and hoping to force President Bush's hand, Klingenschmitt began an 18-day hunger strike in front of the White House to protest the Navy's, quote, mandating nonspecific language in public non-denominational events and an order from superior officers prohibiting him from wearing his uniform during television appearances related to his protest, end quote. The Navy responded to Klingenschmitt's event by releasing a memorandum affirming their position, quote, that sailors cannot wear uniforms for media appearances without prior approval from command, but are permitted to do so for any legitimate worship services, end quote. Despite having declared he would only consume water, quote, until the president of the United States gives me back my uniform and lets me pray publicly in Jesus's name, end quote, Klingenschmitt pointed to this memo as some sort of victory, which makes no sense.
No.
He told the assembled press that, quote, today the Navy has reluctantly obeyed the law to grant me the religious liberty to always, I always should have had, end quote. The military elaborated there had been no changes in policy and had not given Klingenschmitt carte blanche permission to publicly wear his uniform.
This guy is nuts. And like, if you want to go pray, like, why do you have to do in the Navy uniform? Go stand on a on your soapbox on a corner with a sign. I mean, you know, ring the bell that the
like a
end
dog
is
with
near
a bone, you know?
And talk about Jesus.
And like, he loves it. Like, people like this love attention. God. Like, he's on a mission from God, you know. People for the American Way reported from a Vision America conference called, quote, The War on Christmas and Values Voters in 2006. That was the name of the conference. That on March 27th, Klingenschmitt was the opening speaker. He reiterated his claims about the Navy's guidelines and policies and ended by comparing himself to Abdul Rahman, who faced capital punishment in Afghanistan for leaving Islam and converting to Christianity. Who is...
No one is persecuting you.
Yeah, you're not... No one's threatening your life. You're not going
to
die.
Yeah, and no one's saying you can't pray to Jesus. You just can't do it in a Navy... You can't represent the United States government.
Yeah.
As if this is their views. That's what happens when you put on their uniform. So go
and
do it elsewhere.
Separation of church and state.
But it's weird. Take the uniform off. Go live your life. No one is saying you can't preach.
He just loves... It's also a white man. You know what I mean? God. Like these fucking dummies. They're dummies. After verifying that Pyle's orders restricted uniform wear to, quote, attending or participating in a bona fide religious service or observance, end quote, Klingenschmitt led prayers in uniform for a clergy lobbyist group's demonstration in Lafayette Square, Washington, D.C., before immediately removing parts of his uniform and replacing them with a clerical collar and making statements to the assembled press. For these acts of disrespect to the uniform, plus a lack of military bearing and professionalism, and openly challenging his chain of command by claiming to only answer to the president and using intemperate language to describe his leadership to the media, Klingenschmitt's February 3rd, 2006 fitness report was lowered to 19 out of 30 with a military bearing character rating of 2 out of 5. Uh-oh. Captain Pyle issued a letter of caution to Klingenschmitt for violating Article 89 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Ordered to remove the offending material, Klingenschmitt did so, but cited the Military Whistleblower Protection Act in warning that, quote, while I consented this one time to modify the content of my communications to Congress, I shall not do so again. I will respect rank, but never their abuse of power and religious harassment, which I directly accused them in my whistleblower report, end quote.
He's the one harassing. He's the harasser. He's throwing this in everybody's face.
Yeah, they're trying to do
no
their job.
No one's harassing you.
You're interrupting the actual flow of work. Baby. You're a giant baby.
Yeah, go to jail. God, can't they throw this guy in jail?
Baby needs a spanking. These reports were part of a complaint Klinkenschmidt filed with the Department of Defense Office of Inspector General on April 4th, alleging constitutional violations by his superiors and religious persecution. The Inspector General found his claims without merit and closed the case on October 3rd. So Lieutenant Klinkenschmidt had Captain Pyle's explicit orders not to wear his uniform at media events, right? In continuation of his protest of the Navy's prayer guidelines, he nonetheless wore his uniform to a press conference on March 30th, 2006
this guy's
in
crazy.
Lafayette Park. He prayed at the event and distributed a document detailing both his complaints about Navy policy as well as explicit intent to disobey orders about appearing in his uniform. On April 27th, 2006, Captain Pyle notified Klinkenschmidt about his consideration of non-judicial punishment for the violation of orders and regulations. The lieutenant instead demanded a special court-martial saying, quote, I want to defend my innocence in court. The public will see firsthand how they are punishing a chaplain for his faith, end quote.
Wow.
He was formally charged with one count of Article 92 of the UCMJ, failure to obtain order on or regulation. And on August 3rd, whereafter he pled not guilty and requested a trial by jury. If found guilty, the utmost sentence imposable included a fine of forfeiture of $41,925 over 12 months, a letter of reprimand, and 2 months restriction to base. Dismissal from the Navy was not possible outcome based on the charges levied. Now, what the fuck? What do you have to do? You're right. What do you have to do to get kicked out of the Navy? Be gay.
Yeah.
Don't ask, don't tell everybody.
I just don't understand why he's getting chance after chance after chance. Like, just let the dude go.
Yeah. And he's already making a stink. What bigger of a stink? Yeah. It's already out there.
Who cares?
Fuck him. Nobody else is. No, I'm just kidding. On September 12, 2006,
probably right.
Captain Norm Holcomb, Naval Station Norfolk's head chaplain and Klinkenschmidt supervisor, testified that leading a public prayer was not sufficient to categorize an event as a bona fide religious service. Okay? That's not a mass. Right? He described Klinkenschmidt as, quote, untruthful, unethical, insubordinate, contemptuous of authority, unteachable, a totally frustrating independent operator, end quote.
Unteachable. That's the best one.
Yeah. Like, this guy's out on his own.
You don't learn.
He doesn't listen to me.
You don't learn.
Yeah, that guy over on the USS Anzio, that boat took off, and he's like, that guy's not on the fucking boat anymore.
Imagine how thrilled he's they are. They passed the buck, and then this other place is like, God damn it.
Just get this guy off my ship. I don't want anything to do with this. Now he's haunting people on land.
Oh, my God.
Lieutenant Commander Richard Inman was Captain Holcomb's deputy, and he told the court that Holcomb had reminded Klinkenschmidt of the uniform probation on March 29th, saying, quote, he assured us a couple of times that he would not wear his uniform.
Take the uniform away. Can't they
so
take
he's a liar.
His uniform?
He's a fucking liar.
So take the uniform.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I guess not. Represented by a military public defender and private civilian attorney on September 13th, Klinkenschmidt testified that his March 30th actions were permissible because the news conference was a bona fide worship service observance, which it wasn't. Despite having subpoenaed Roy Moore to testify, Klinkenschmidt's civilian attorney called no witnesses, saying it was because the government's own evidence would exonerate his client. Klinkenschmidt himself instead claimed it was because he heard his God's voice thrice the previous evening. So God came to Klinkenschmidt.
Oh.
Just like he talks to baby boy Mike Johnson.
Yeah, okay. I mean, God.
And he's like, you don't need any witnesses.
Ooh. Wow.
Their evidence will exonerate you, my child.
And I love thrice. Like, he didn't come three times. He came thrice.
Yeah.
Oh, is that sort of like, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Is there some kind of Trinity kind of like symbolism happening with this?
Yeah.
What
God,
a loser.
God speaks to me, but he tells me, girl, there's a donut in the fridge.
Ooh.
It's got your name on it.
I want a donut.
Doesn't that sound so good right now?
I was watching we're very early on and where
Marcus
he's,
makes the donut.
Yeah, but where he's watching all those donuts being made. And then when he brings him home in what's his name, Mac?
Yeah.
And he's like squeezing him by his face. He's like, oh, the texture. But they all looked good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that chocolate cake. I was like, I want to eat all of this.
Fucking love Marcus. Love
the
it.
The sweetest little baby.
The chaos in that season, though, girl. Oh,
that's brilliant. Season. It's brilliant. It's so good. Brilliant.
After 80 minutes of deliberation, the jury found Klinkenschmidt guilty of, quote, one misdemeanor count of disobeying and disobeying a lawful order, end quote.
Dishonorable discharge.
Girl. They sentenced him to a formal reprimand and forfeiture of $3,000 over 12 months, but also recommended for Rear Admiral Frederick Rule to suspend the financial sentence. Why?
Okay.
I don't know.
But who cares? Just dishonorable discharge, honorable discharge. Like, just get rid of him. Can't they use this as a reason to get rid of him? I don't understand.
I don't think so. Klingenschmitt said he would appeal the verdict by all means possible all the way to the Supreme Court. Admiral Rule concurred with the jury's recommendation, suspended the financial sentence, and issued the written reprimand to Klingenschmitt on January 3rd, 2007. So, meanwhile, in September of 2006, a few months before, he had resigned from... You have to have like a sponsor, a church that sponsors you to go through the chaplaincy, right?
Yeah.
And so the Evangelical Episcopal Church, he resigns from that church. And they immediately notified the chief of naval personnel of Klingenschmitt's loss of ecclesiastical endorsement effective October 1st, 2006.
Oh, so he can't even be chaplain. Okay, good.
So in accordance with the Department of Defense Instruction 1304.28, paragraph 6.5.
I love these.
This immediately instigated separation proceedings, which they're probably like, oh, thank God. God spoke to them too. They're like, thank you, God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
So yeah, so then he did. So he went from being Catholic to... Protestant and this Pentecostal, but he's like,
So Klingenschmitt argued that a subsequent September 29th endorsement by the chaplaincy of full gospel churches should allow for continuity of endorsement but the Office of the Chief of Naval Operations Instruction 1120.9 nonetheless requires recertification of professional qualifications. So basically, it doesn't qualify. An advisory board.
Oh, this is so good. He thought he was being slick. Yeah. They catch him in this loophole. He's going to lose his mind. Yeah. I can't wait.
An advisory board, the chief of naval personnel, the chief of chaplains, and the assistant secretary of the Navy for manpower and reserve affairs concurred against approving Klingenschmitt's new endorsement based on professional unsuitability, disciplinary record, and unsatisfactory performance. Quote, the secretary concluded that you do not possess the character, leadership, or professional traits needed to be successfully serve as a naval officer, end quote.
Okay, bye.
Hey, bye. He was honorably and formally separated from the U.S. Navy on March 1st, 2007. By June 2007, Klingenschmitt was touring churches, alleging that his court martial was instead for invoking Jesus' name in public prayer, that his separation from the Navy was the result of his court martial, and that the conviction had been overturned, none of which was true.
Wow. How do you preach?
Yeah.
And you're a liar.
Yeah. It's like his point of view, which was, you know, those people aren't checking. They're not looking and like looking up. Like, oh,
we
you
know
poor
that
soul.
They don't look because these are all the people supporting Trump.
Yeah. They
don't look at anything.
Yeah.
They just believe what they're told. It's crazy.
Yeah. On June 15, 2007, a naval judge advocate reviewed Klingenschmitt's court-martial as required by law and determined, quote, the findings and sentence were correct as to law and fact and that no material error existed, end quote. Klingenschmitt requested for the judge advocate general of the Navy to review the case and dismiss the conviction. That was denied in 2009. He appealed to the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit Court. That was also denied. And he appealed to SCOTUS in 2006, but they did not take the case. So, bye.
Bye.
So, he, meanwhile, started these two nonprofits. One nonprofit, the other one's for-profit. But they both have a very similar name. One is a for-profit religious entity called Pray in Jesus' Name Project. Persuade the World Ministries, which operates under the trade name Pray in Jesus' Name Ministries, was founded in 1999 as a tax-exempt 501c3 organization with the goal to, quote, promote and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, end quote. I don't know why. You could do that for free. You don't need to have an organization.
Why do you need money?
You can go stand on the corner and do that.
Is he trying to be like a Joel Osteen? Please.
In 2014, it raised $825,679.
I don't
while
understand.
Spending $905,000.
So where's the other money? Yeah. What are you spending that money on, though? Please. Pamphlets? Like money. What?
Trips? What? Probably traveling. Going to churches.
Oh, please. Huh. Don't the churches, give them a place to stay?
Ugh. The charity also funds Klingenschmitt's televangelist TV show Pray in Jesus' Name, where he calls himself Dr. Chaps.
Does he understand what that might mean?
Yeah.
Because when I hear Dr. Chaps, I'm not thinking chaplain.
Yeah. I'm looking for the whips, honey.
What is going on?
What a dope.
What a dope. Dummy.
Klingenschmitt himself does not draw a salary or other compensation from the charity, so I don't know where he was getting money. He used the platform to call a transgender 6-year-old a demon, the organization was added to the Southern Poverty Law Center's anti-LGBTQ hate list. Fuck you. How about that?
What is this guy doing? In other words, now?
Fuck you.
Please tell me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't you not remember when at the beginning of this when I called him a former U.S. Colorado House rep?
No, I didn't.
Because that's the natural progression of this lunacy. Now we're going to fail upwards and become a fucking house rep in a state.
I don't understand how this happens.
Girl.
Please tell me. Tell me.
All I saw was the political stuff, like all these things he had said as sitting as a house rep. I didn't realize the Navy shit until I started reading about him, and I was like, oh, he's a lunatic. Okay, yeah, let's do the whole thing.
Let's do the whole thing.
So he announced in 2014 his campaign for the 15th district seat in east side of Colorado Springs in the Colorado House of Representatives. He faced Mike Kuhn and Dave Williams for the Republican nomination and expected electoral win because 80% of that district is Republican, so whoever's running is gonna win it. Klingenschmitt claimed he was running for office because why?
Jesus told him to.
That's right. Quote, God called him to it. End quote.
I love this. I love that you can walk around and just say, God told me, and then people are like, oh well, then you know I have to support you because God said it.
We should really try to do this. I
know. Well, God said that the Muck podcast everyone needs to listen to the Muck.
Who are you to question God?
Yeah.
You better tune in.
You better tune in.
Or you're going to hell. Hell.
Hell in a bucket, baby.
He may. by February 19th, he had received campaign contributions totaling $13,223, which was from him. Most of it was from him. And in June, Klingenschmitt won the primary election, receiving 52% of the votes. Afterwards, you know, so now the lunatic has won the nomination.
I don't even know. I have no words.
Okay. Afterwards, Colorado Republican Party chairman distanced the party from Klingenschmitt's controversial rhetoric, such as comparing President Obama to a demon, calling homosexuality a sin, and declaring that, quote, Obamacare causes cancer, end quote. That August, Klingenschmitt was again disavowed by his own party, as well as condemned by the Colorado House Speaker Mark Ferrandino for claiming that then Representative, who's now the governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, wanted to behead Christians in the United States like ISIS did in Syria. He later walked back those remarks, but, you know, the horse is out of the fucking stable at that point. Guess what? He wins the primary. And obviously...
Oh, the American voters.
And obviously...
They never disappoint.
Obviously, due to the district being majority Republican, he basically walks right into that fucking seat and is now, you know, sitting as a... Or at that point was sitting as a Colorado House rep. And he would only serve one term.
Because they realize he's completely insane.
You know what it reminds me of? George Santos, right? Yeah. George Santos wins his primary. He walks into that seat and the Republican Party in that district was like, what the fuck? You know, and he gets one term. you know, nothing.
George Santos is making that money on his little,
of course, cameos.
Cameo, man.
But nothing wakes up of the voters than who's my representative?
Yeah.
What did he just say? Who's a demon? Because while in office, he said some crazy things. Because of their, quote, demonic spirit of child abuse, end quote, Klingenschmitt argued for disqualifying homosexual people from being teachers.
Oh.
This was in 2016. I'm sorry. No, that's not 2016. That was 2015. He walked into office in 2015. So not that long ago.
No.
His belief in Christianity similarly drove opposition to LGBTQ people serving in the United States Armed Forces. During political discussions about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he advocated against the 112th United States Congress certifying the military as ready for such a change and to, quote, instead pass strong laws protecting the rights of Christian troops, end quote.
I gotta tell you, I've never
served in the military, but I would imagine, because I've had friends who have, they don't give a fuck who you pray to, yeah, who you love. If you're next to them in battle,
you gotta serve.
They just want to know that you can shoot that gun and protect them too. Yeah. That y'all are gonna fight together. That's all everybody's coming home tonight. That's all they care about. They do not ask and don't give a fuck about shit like this. He's the only one bringing attention to Christian troops. Fucking asshole. He also said that, quote, we gotta put homosexual people back in the closet, especially if they're so flagrant. They want to violate one another, end quote.
Oh, my God.
He didn't get much done while in office, of course. He's co-sponsored. No one wants to work with this scumbag. No. He co-sponsored a bill that would prohibit legal penalties for defendants guilty of religious discrimination. That didn't pass. As of June 2016, Klingenschmitt had only sponsored one successful bill, which was requiring the Colorado Department of Education to investigate alternative tests for required state assessments.
Okay.
Okay. So, other controversies. On March 18th, 2015, a woman in Longmont, Colorado, had her fetus cut out and killed. So, a lunatic did this, right? Crazy person. Klingenschmitt described the attack as, quote, an act of God, a punishment for abortion in the United States.
This is what I remember. This is the story I remember.
Yeah. I remember that. I think that's why I found it, because of this. Yeah. While he was criticized by the public, the Colorado Republican Party, and former House Minority Leader Mark Weller, Klingenschmitt initially refused to retract the comments, repeating them on his fucking TV show, Pray in Jesus' Name. Which, you know, he loves. He loves that attention. That's all he cares about. He's going to say whatever is crazy enough so you can look at him. He just wants that feedback. Even if it's negative, he wants it. He wants it. With few disciplinary measures available, current minority leader Brian Del Grosso removed Klingenschmitt from his position in the Health Insurance and Environment Committee. Klingenschmitt decried the punishment as unfair, because he's a victim always, but nonetheless published an apology and announced 6-week hiatus on his religious TV show. His committee assignment was returned 22 days later. After the Boy Scouts of America ended their prohibition of homosexual leaders in July 2015, Klingenschmitt criticized the organization for putting children in danger of molestation.
Oh my God.
He was again strongly condemned by his own party, who emphasized that he did not speak on their behalf.
And, you know, the Boy Scouts stories have come out where it's, you know, heterosexual men who preyed on children. Like, why aren't, if you're, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Pedophiles and homosexual people are not
synonymous.
The same.
It's so fucking crazy.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
They're not the same. I don't even understand how you could not get that.
I don't either. It's so
a child,
weird. An adult. It doesn't make any sense.
So, like I said earlier, he only served this one term in the Colorado House, but that, of course, wasn't the last time he ran for office. In 2016, he attempted to run for a Colorado Senate seat and he lost. In 2017, he ran to be the vice chair of the El Paso County Republican Party and he lost. In 2019, he ran to be the Colorado Springs City Council and he lost. In 2023, he ran again to be on the Colorado Springs City Council and he lost.
Ooh, loser. Oop.
But like, he must be that candidate. Like,
everyone's like,
not again.
Klingenschmitt,
not
again. Go
Here he
away.
Comes. Yeah.
Go away.
But listen, he rolls that dice enough. He's going to hit 7 eventually. Like, right?
God,
like,
I
eventually
hope not.
He's going to, he'll get something.
No.
Anyway.
All right. This guy's Cuckoo Magoo.
Gordon Klingenschmitt.
Klingenschmitt.
I wanted to say that Nymphia Wind. My candidate for RuPaul's Drag Race just won season 16.
Oh.
So fucking excited. I love, 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 love her. So fucking happy. She did, the last lip sync was to Padam, Padam, I know it. It's a Kylie Minogue song. It is so fucking, you gotta go watch that. That was very, very good.
Okay.
I love it. That was who I wanted to win the whole time. So excited about that. So congratulations to Nymphia Wynn. I love you, bananas forever. And I watched a show, girl, on Netflix called Baby Reindeer.
That's on my list.
Tina.
That is on my list.
Tina.
I'm going to be upset.
It's really good.
I heard it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's based on a true story. The guy wrote it, but I didn't know that the guy who's acting in it is also the person who this happened to. Like, he wrote it. He's an actor, like, whatever.
Oh.
I didn't realize it was him until after I watched it. I'm like, oh, who is this actor? I looked at it, I go, oh my God, it's the guy. Incredible. Incredible.
Oh, I can't
but it
wait.
Highlights
I can't
things
wait.
That we don't really talk about, how men can be victims of stalking, men can be victims of sexual assault, the grooming that can happen to men as adults. Like, there are things that happen in the show that there's very, you know, like trigger warning sexual assault things. There's one episode in particular that's very, very hard to watch. But there's things that's happening where you get a sense of like something's going on with this guy, and then you get to see all of these things that happen.
Ooh,
but
he's
fantastic in it.
Looking forward to
watching
it.
And the woman who plays the stalker, Martha, is fucking brilliant. Like, her acting in this, there's scenes where she doesn't even say words. It's just like her eyebrows. And I'm like, she's incredible actress. Ooh, incredible actress. The whole show is so fucking good. It's a lot.
Ooh.
Although, you know, I think it depends. Like, my mother was like, I can't believe you watch this. There's it's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Yeah, I know.
But I also think it's important to tell. Listen, that's what these shows are about. Tell the stories that we should all be talking about. So watch Baby Reindeer if you haven't already. It's really, really good.
I've been watching.
Oh.
I told you yesterday. I texted you. American Crime Story.
Oh.
Impeachment. And I don't know how I never saw it before. I don't think it came out that long ago.
No.
But it's so good. The chick playing Paulson, who's playing.
Linda Tripp.
Linda Tripp.
Linda Tripp was out of her fucking mind. Girl.
The portrayal in this is wild.
But isn't she, like, isn't she mad at Clinton for like letting somebody go, or like she's mad at him for like firing somebody
herself. Mad that she sort of gets annexed to like the DOD, and she is a bitter, the way that it comes off is she is just a sort of a bitter, sad, jealous, angry person. And but it also shows I didn't realize how close of a relationship she had.
That's with Monica.
With Monica. And so like that evolution.
Girl.
And then you do see Linda Tripp struggling at some points and realizing
she feels guilty.
That there is some guilt there of what's about to go down. And then like the whole Paula Jones thing. And it is so good. Yeah. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And I think it's only 10 episodes. And I think I'm episode 4 or 5. And
yeah, that was just like we were texting about it. You know, it's Ryan Murphy, and he also, it's the true crime, American True Crime Stories, and he also did the OJ one.
The OJ one, like, I liked.
Even with the Bill Clinton one, it happened so long ago that like we knew some details, but maybe we forgot them. But also,
there's a lot of things that happened
behind the scenes that we had no idea, that you start to go, holy shit.
Yes.
But and it's the manipulation of that girl, of Monica, by him, by Linda Tripp.
Yes.
It's fucked up.
The thing that was so fucked up in it is, you know, because all these people are trying to get him, right?
Yeah.
And there's some journalists that are just like, you know, whatever. Presidents have had affairs forever. Like, you know, and this one guy is like, there's no quid pro quo. And so Linda, she is the one that starts manipulating Monica
to try to get
that New York job. And then, like, because I was like, I go, oh my God. Because I remember, like, she had gotten that Revlon job or whatever it was. And I was like, oh my God. Like, Linda's the one that, like, that established that quid pro quo. Like, and like, because she's like, oh, Monica, you should ask for this. And Monica, you should do that. It is wild how this poor girl was played, and some of the stuff that comes out, it's so good.
Well, have you seen those? There's these funny tweets.
And I think she's an executive producer on it.
Oh yeah.
So she like,
she's very funny on Twitter. She's very smart. Cause I was going to say that, there's this thing on Twitter that people are putting out, and it's basically, you write, you could never have survived the asylum I was raised in. And like Gillian Anderson did it. It was a picture of her and, you know, as Scully and Mulder, like in the basement of the FBI, like, it's funny. Monica did it, and it was a picture of the White House. I was like, girl, you know?
I mean, no.
She was very young.
She was 24.
So fucked up.
She was 24. And the FBI guys, and like,
I probably would have been able to fall right into that too.
Her moment of like hysteria when like the feds come.
Yes, because I don't think she even understood the level of like what was happening.
She lost her mind, but she stands up in some moment. It's good. But man, Bill Clinton's a jerk. He is a jerk.
I will never listen. I was in school when I remember coming home. I voted for him at 18.
Oh,
I voted for him at 22. I was so fucking excited. It was the first time I got to vote in a presidential election when I was 18. I was so excited. And I voted for him. And I remember voting for him at 22. And very shortly after that, all this stuff came out. And I remember watching him saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I remember sitting on the couch and watching that.
I remember that.
And then
too.
When it all came out, I'm like, I was pissed that I voted for this man. I'm like, I gave him my fucking vote, and he's lying about, he's fucking people.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You know, fine. Everyone has, right? I mean, Kennedy, like,
But it was almost like a gift that he gave the Republican. Newt Gingrich, that was a fucking gift this motherfucker got.
Fucking idiot. And he should have, well, the he's other so careless. Thing is, well, but the other thing is, I guess, like, she was like a long, one of the long term relationships. Like all these things.
You'd mentioned
like
that last week.
One or 2 days. And
right.
So it's just
but I think, but when we were talking about, we talked about it last week, but I was saying that now, you know, he would have like these flings as governor and they would kind of like be able to go away.
Yeah.
This girl was there. Like, you got to keep this 24-year-old calm the fuck down.
Yeah, no, he did not.
Because he's wearing those ties. Wild. He's wearing the ties that she gave him. Like, would throw a fire, fuel on that fire.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? And who plays Hillary? Is it, what's her name?
Edie Falco.
Oh, Sopranos.
Yeah.
Did she have those nails where she went like this?
No, but like you barely see her. You like, at least right now, like you don't see much of her. There's like, you know, one
How
brief
is she
moment.
As Hillary?
I mean, like I said, I think she has maybe one line I've seen her say so far. She was sleeping in bed one time and then she is next to Linda Tripp and Linda Tripp is upset. She's like, why would she use like sort of like the public bathroom? She's the first lady. And like this lady's like, who cares? Like, who cares?
I don't know how Linda Tripp is now passed.
Yeah, she died.
Cancer or something.
Cancer. And it was like 2020 when like things, you know, people couldn't go visit. Anyway, that's it.
Well, I guess we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have 3 levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.